plate a potential nugget.
Back to entrepreneurs that you back. I mean, the Wi-Fi password here is founders first. So what do you mean by that? And what do you look for in founders? Are there three or four traits of an entrepreneur that you look for, and how do you look for them?
So I would say there are in investing, in venture investing, everybody will say that they invest in a team and a market.
Right.
The rub comes when you have to pick one over the other. So it's a shitty market, a great team, will you do it? Or it's a great market, but the team is not up to your standards of some sort. Great team, great market, great. And probably it'll be overpriced.
Good
and
problem to have.
Nobody will make money.
Yeah.
So when we have to make that trade-off, we trade off on the side of founders, right? We have a philosophical viewpoint, and I've seen that happen even in our portfolio, that the best founders are not here to waste time. If the market doesn't play out the way they think it was playing, they was going to play out, they'll create a new market. Facebook almost created, well, actually Facebook, the market was trying to be pioneered by Friendster and MySpace and all of that, and look at what Mark Zuckerberg did, right? And social networking didn't exist at the market. So they create stuff. That's how we are founders first. Now that has multiple implications. We try to back the best guys, but to your earlier point about how we work with them is also critical. You can't back the best guys and then go and say, do this, do that. Then it is the intrusion point that you are making.
Yep.
So how we work with them is also founders first. We put them first.
Interesting.
We have an internal framework called FIMM. F-I-M-M. Founders, Investors, Matrix, Me. That's the value system. And their founders are again first. The second part of your question was?
No, I think it was just, what do you look for?
Well, I wish with you. See, there is an art to this business. If there is ever an art, that is the art. Now, again, I'm a big believer you can learn over a period of time. I think my own people evaluation skills were average. Today, I would think they are better. And that has happened over a period of time. It's more easy for us to spot things that are negative than things that will make somebody a great investor. So I would say we have this category of where we say we are not going to invest. That's easier to get to. Maybe integrity, maybe capability, maybe something. It's always a combination of attitude plus aptitude, right? And there are things we look for. We look for hard work, hustle. But anything I tell you, you are going to say that sounds obvious, right? The question is, and I think where the art comes in, is there will always be some positives and always be some negatives. How do you put it all together? And in that story, is it a yes or no? Ultimately, investing is about saying a yes or a no.
It's about the judgment, right?
It is that judgment. And judgment is the hardest part of this business. That judgment where you say yes or a no, right? That part is not scientifically something you can put down. Now, there are tools we use. And again, it goes back to the outside-in view of the world. Reference checks. Go spend time with them in the market. Go spend time with them on the product rather than sitting in your room and, you know, creating analysis or models.
Got it.
But those are just proxies.
Fair enough. And again, just if you take stock of life, it's been a decade plus in investing.
Sadly, yeah.
How do you think about life ahead, right? I think back to the $55 million point where, you know, a lot of your financial needs were met, you moved on, you got into investing. How do you think about what the goalpost should be for yourself?
I think the goalpost is very clearly for the last decade also, it's just pure achievement. And in my own way, not maybe in a more broader sense of the term, but impact. So for me, the impact is if, personally speaking, the way I think of myself and then some version of that permeates throughout the firm, if I could be involved with creating 10 plus billion dollar companies, you know, right now the count is maybe two or three on the way, whatever. Involved in creating, I'm not talking about the money made, right? Just that impact, the thought partnership with those entrepreneurs. For me, that is what drives us. I would say as a firm, therefore, we think about we should be in business. Should we have 30 to 50% market share of the best founders over the next decade? We think the market share of market cap will follow.
Very interesting.
Because that's our approach, right? So we are really, really founders first in that regard. And frankly, that's what drives us.
Two pieces struck me here. One is the point Avnish makes about setting your aspirations as market share of founders is an interesting one. In any business, I guess it's critical to figure out what are the underlying variables that determine success in your business. In my previous organization, Egon Zehnder, we talk about the quality of trusted advisor relationships that the consultants are building over time. The point being, if you're building the asset of relationships with the right set of people at the right level, to the right level of depth, then hopefully the business is an annuity that flows out of it. The second thing that struck me is the notion of judgment that he alludes to. There's a lovely book titled Defining Moments by Professor Joseph Badaracco of Harvard. He talks about the fact that in early years of a leader's growth, they're often making right versus wrong decisions. But as they grow, it's often about how you navigate the right versus right and how do you make decision under those circumstances. And that's the muscle of judgment that I see good leaders build as they go through their experiences. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit audioboom.com and look for Play to Potential or subscribe on iTunes.